wanted to make sure I had this already set up, so it wouldn't take me as long to get started.
I noticed that.
So.
Do you mind if I pray over
you? Oh, that's fine.
Father, as we gather here to seek your face, Lord, I just pray that our minds will be still, our hearts will be still, and Lord, that we'll become like sponges as your word comes out of this man's mouth and enters our ears. May we absorb it to the depth of our soul. And then, Father, I pray that we take that not only for nourishment for us, but to go out into this world and wring that sponge out so your life-giving water falls upon the world for your glory. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I got one other scripture there that won't leave me alone. In Matthew it says, Lord, Lord. No, I want to skip that part. Jesus, it gets to Jesus, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That word will has puzzled me for a long time. It's like, God, what is your will? The other day it hit me. Why don't you go back in your accordions of your Bible and look at it? And usually that gives you different scriptures where you find that word will. But beside that word will was two other words. Willingness and willful. But it was willingness and willing. Yeah. And that's what Jesus was. He was willing and willful to do what the Father wanted. And that's all we got to be. Is willing.
Yes.
Thank you, Dad.
Praise the Lord. Okay. I would like you to start out going to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. The message really blends in with what Dan said, and it also blends in with a message Reggie gave a couple weeks ago about purpose. If you turn to Romans 8, we're going to look at verse 28. And it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So, you know, we are special in his sight. We do have value. And we have value because of Christ. And that value, God calls everybody to repent, calls everybody to salvation, calls everybody, all of us, to love one another. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, that word called, because we're going to focus on the word called, because we are the called of God, aren't we? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, a little more emotion here.
Yes.
Get into it, you know? I'm telling you, you know, you can't be putting all of yourself into something without fervor in your heart. Now, maybe you don't have to raise your voice, but sometimes you do. You know that?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes you do. Sometimes at least there needs to be inside of you a controlled, strong response to something. You're not going to just latch on to something if you don't want to latch on to it. And that requires you to make that determined effort, a very diligent effort, to take a hold of what the Word is going to do for you today. So we're going to take that, aren't we?
Yes.
Let's take it. Okay? All right, now, it says here that we are called according to His purpose. Now, that's very important. And we're not called to our own purpose. We're called to His purpose. And I don't know about you, but His purpose isn't always what we think. Well, we want His purpose to really be our purpose. And sometimes we can disguise that. And we can use religious-sounding words to disguise. We're gonna make our purposes purpose. You see what I'm saying? We can fool ourselves, but we are called for His purpose. We don't sit there and decide, well, I need to modify this a little bit. God's purpose for me, I'm going to modify it because I don't want to go that far, or I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of just letting go and speaking in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit. There's lots of us can be that way, right? We're afraid of spiritual things because it's outside of ourselves. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so we've got to get to the place where we're determined, since we're called to His purpose, is to find that purpose. And this goes right along with what Reggie was talking about a couple weeks ago. Now, I want to talk here about this word called. This right here is an invitation that Kathy and I got from Johnny and friends. Okay? Do you know that God's calling you? The word is invitation. He is inviting you because He cares for you. He cares for me. Let that settle in a little bit. How many of you like getting invitations in? You're invited to a wedding, you're invited to a birthday party, you're invited to this person's house you get a phone call. Hey, why don't you come on over, let's do such and such, let's go to the movies, we get all these little invitations a lot, verbal, and a little more formal, like this, and this is really neat that Kathy had Sunday school, and she said to me, well, what's the message on, because I'm not going to be there. So I said, it's about us being called of God. And I said, and do you know that that word called means invitation? It's an invitation. She goes, oh, you've got to be kidding. I said, wow. And she said, she had two invitations that she was bringing into the kids, because it's all about being invited to prayer, and that's what she's teaching.
Wow.
And so that makes you feel pretty good. You feel, oh, there's a confirmation. And I've got to get this over to her. Could somebody take it to Kathy all the way down far away? I want to look at this here. And if we continue in verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He predestined. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." For us to realize one another like this is something else. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified.
What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hallelujah, huh?
Amen.
We're going to need that verse as the weeks and months go along.
Yes.
Here. Now, I guess I better point this out. Verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" This doesn't just mean making money.
No.
Like some parts of Christianity have made it into. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Now, let me say something here. The answer to that question, who shall separate us? What's the answer?
Nobody.
Nothing. There's nothing that can separate us. Now, does that mean that there is no tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No,
that isn't what it says. It doesn't say he keeps us from that. There's nothing that can happen to us, which could be good or bad, that will separate us from his love. You got to get, you and I got to get that into our heads.
Thank you, Lord.
If we want to be mature, strong, determined, disciplined disciples of Christ, this we need to know. He doesn't promise that there's not hard times that we're going to experience. He promises that he's going to love us and support us and be there through no matter what it is. These things can't separate. You want to say something?
Last week you said that grace.
Yes.
With joy.
Yes.
That's exactly what you're talking about here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
all you're
going backwards.
But you have joy because you have grace.
Yes. And that grace is that enabling power to hang in there with God, to trust God, to remember all his benefits. Amen?
Amen.
This can be very important for us, I think, as people called to be in Christ at the end of this age. Because there's something very different and something very special going on at the end of the age. God is actually going to stop this present system of things. Won't that be wonderful?
Yes.
There is a process that's involved in that, where God is going to do his sovereign things. And God expects us to be the vessels of grace, his enabling, to do what he wants us to do. Because we're called for a purpose. We're not called just to be saved. We're called for a purpose that goes beyond salvation.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes?
How many of you believe that?
Yeah.
You do. You believe this. That there is more, otherwise he would have just taken us when we got saved.
Right.
There must be a reason why we're still here.
Right?
Right? We could have through some of our many stupid decisions that we made in life, maybe not even been here right now. You know? Wrong choice. Pull out, and from the back of a truck when you should have stayed in the back of the truck. And there's something, you know, people die all the time from choices. Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm glad all of us are still here.
Amen.
Now, I want you to go...
Malcolm, yeah, did you read 37?
No, I didn't. I was going to finish the rest of that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Would you like to read it?
It says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us.
Yeah.
But then in 39, it says, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, you and I better remember that.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to remember it now, and we can feel so encouraged when the Spirit of God is just moving and touching and all of that. When you're all by yourself and the world is closing in and it's all dark and you see no light at the end of any tunnel, then this is where this is really going to help you and me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen over and over again in my life. I know that you have too. When you think that there is no hope, there is hope. Isn't there? There's neither height nor depth or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know, when you sin, you hear this? When you sin, are you separated from the love of God?
No.
No, you're not. Now, you might get consequences for the choices that you made, but God still loves you. And if you turn to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive you. But turning to Him means that you're repenting, you see that it's not the right thing, and so you have to turn toward Him. Right? If you stay in the sin that you're in, then you're going to get the consequence of that. Aren't you?
Yes.
But he hasn't stopped loving you. Has he?
No.
All right. We're going to move on. I want you to go to... Well, I think I'm going to go someplace else. Ephesians chapter 1. This is one of the two prayers, that really beautiful prayers that are in this book. Ephesians chapter 1.
And I don't think there's anybody here that has arrived at this, what I'm going to read. There's not one single person. Verse 18. Ephesians 1:18. He's talking. Paul is praying, and he's praying that where he says, and that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now we're talking about calling. We're talking about it, the invitation that God gives you. Now, I want us to realize that there is invitations to salvation. But every single day, God's inviting you to partake of Himself in all these different ways. We're called to prayer, aren't we?
Yes.
We're called to prayer. We're invited to pray to the Lord. And that happens every day. We're called to love our brothers and sisters. We're called to love those who have no reason to be loved. So there's all these different kinds of callings. All these different kinds of invitations. Will you be open to do this for that person? Will you be open to, give work in this particular case? Will you be open to not watch your third soccer game of the day and pray and take some time and go pray? Yes, I mean, you think that's something, you know, that's not really much. You know, when you want to do something, and God's calling you to do something different, even some little thing in life, some little tiny thing. I'm watching soccer games. I said to Kathy, I'm in heaven. Because June is soccer month. This is when the Copa America is going on, and the women's World Cup is taking place right now. They just finished a tournament in France where a whole bunch of countries were there, and I'm watching all these games. Just watching, enjoying, because I love soccer, you know. So, yesterday, I watched two games, and I was getting ready for my third point. I was just like, oh, this is, some of the what was going on in the games, I'm like, man, what beautiful. Soccer is a beautiful game, you know. Now, I know most of you think it's boring because nobody scores that much. But the beauty of being a soccer player myself, and I know that there are certain people here that would understand what I'm saying right now, if you played sports, there's beauty in execution of passing, trapping the ball, moving the ball this way or that, shooting. There's all that, and then just the movement that happens off the ball. There's beauty to it. And so I'm just enjoying. And I hear this little thought. Turn off the TV.
Watch a real
sport. Turn off the TV and get some time with me. Oh, well, you know what? Something as stupid and dumb as watching a game compared to the glory of God, you know? Don't we rationalize ourselves? Oh, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with watching soccer. I have to enjoy myself sometime. You and I can rationalize anything. And when that thought comes into our minds, I knew it wasn't my thought, because my thought would be saying, lay back, have some more Coke, watch the game, you know. So I thought, but I want to see this next game. You're not against that, are you? Well, it's your choice. Well, I just killed you. Who is it? Oh. Well, I'm not gonna say anything. But you know, when your wife says, well, Malcolm, go ahead, do what you want. And I can do something for her or do something for me. You know what happens? Oh, that's it. Now, if my wife said, no, Malcolm, I want you to do this for me, I probably would have fought back and said, no, I'm doing this. But she gives me this choice and makes me feel bad. And so I end up going to town for this. Oh, that's right.
Joe, I wonder where you learned that.
So, but isn't this how it can be sometimes, you know? So here's the Lord saying, you can choose me or you can choose the soccer game. Well, I guess I'm going to choose you, Lord. And so I took some time off from a game. And I got so caught up in reading the Word and praying and stuff, I missed the very game that I was really waiting for, because it was the third game that yesterday that I really wanted to see. So I missed the whole thing. And I thought, oh, well, I'll get a chance to watch it later. And I never did. So I never did see the game. So I wonder what happened.
They lost.
Nobody scored.
Yeah,
most likely nobody scored. It's like NASCAR.
Hold it a minute. I watched a soccer game yesterday where Germany beat Gibraltar 7-0. So don't say they don't score. There can be good scores.
Blackhawks are
lying. All right. But here, I don't want to get off too far on this.
I wanted to say that this morning the same thing happened to me. I wanted to watch the news, but I got this book from the Daily Bread, and it's called Live Free.
Yeah.
And it was about the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, I read one chapter yesterday, but I finished the book this morning. Instead of, you know, and it's just I put it on my heart that I needed to finish this.
We've got to obey, boom, just like that. You know, you have to make that decision that when you hear something that you don't put it off, or you know what, Lord, I'll get into your word after I finish the third thing. How's that? You know, we bargain with God. We do, don't we? I'm not the only one. Okay. But I'm learning, and so are you, and this is what's really going to be important for us as people. Because here's all these invitations every day. He invites us to himself. He invites us to pray. He invites us to think about others and you know, put yourself in their place, and then to pray, and then to do, you know, this is a wonderful thing. Because this is where the power comes from, isn't it? Okay.
You know, just like last week when I was watching TV and I heard that little voice say, you know, stop watching TV and look up some scripture verses, and then they ended up being the same ones.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Has nothing to do with us, but we, you know,
that's right.
Being obedient, you know, and just taking that time.
That is very, very true. Okay, I want to get to 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you'll turn there. Second Peter chapter 1. So here we have a calling, and we're called according to his purpose. God turns everything to good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There is a hope for this calling that we have. And when we talk about that, the hope that goes with that is, it says there back in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to what is the hope of his calling. And I think that that's an everyday process where we stay sensitive to the Lord and he shows us things. Now, you know, tell me, I mean, if you're in the Word and the Lord shows you something and then it connects with the Word that's brought on Sunday, or maybe you're watching a televangelist or whatever, and here what you're reading about and what's really meant you is also, doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that give you hope and strength? You know, these are things that come because we're pursuing the Lord. All right, now in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this. Verse 10. Therefore, the wrath of brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election certain. Oh, you mean we can get an invitation and then not arrive at where we're supposed to be? Now, maybe some people would take it as something where, you know, well, does that mean I can lose my salvation? I don't think it's talking about salvation. I think it's all these other callings that we're listening to his invitations. And there's lots of times I think you and I, we all know that we don't make it to the site of the invitation. Is that right? Probably already happened today in some way. We missed something. We didn't do, we didn't hear it. We didn't act on it. Right?
We don't act on things that God wants us to act on, and he's inviting us to be part of what he's doing. All right. I'm going to take you to one other place. Philippians chapter 3. Okay, now, this in this particular translation, let's look at that. It says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to read it to you out of the King James, because I think that this says it a little bit better as far as I see it. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read verse 13 and then 14. Brethren, I count not myself as having apprehended, taking a hold of everything that God has for us. He has all these invitations, right? And to take a hold of everyone. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward unto the things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that's what it says in the King James Version. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling. That's not generalized. You know, God calls us to many different things. There's all kinds of invitations, isn't there?
Yes.
And there are some invitations that have an even grander, higher purpose for you in your life. And he calls us to that. And Paul says, this is what I'm going after. I am going after the things where God has something that transcends me, that gives me a higher purpose that he's called me to. There's a high calling for every one of us. Isn't that something? Not just the normal, not just the lots of the everyday things, but something that goes beyond. You know that what we're talking about last week about grace? You know that grace is unmerited favor. You got nothing to do with it. But then grace also is something that is the divine influence in your life, where you hear and you obey, and then God enables you to do things. This kind of connects with this. And then for the humble, it says that God has even more grace to distribute to those who are humble heart, who aren't looking for something for their own glory, that want to serve God and love God and connect with God. That humility that is at the basis of submission and obedience,
yes.
Right? So this is saying that in terms of calling, in terms of inviting us to something that's grander than something that you would expect. You get this? You talk about value.
right? To be valued, to be looked at in a very special way. God has an invitation for us to go beyond. And Paul says, I'm pressing, that's where I'm going. That's where I want to get to go. And Paul says it in such a way, he says, I press. And to press toward the mark means moving through a crowd. You know, the crowd's pressing in, and you aren't going to let those obstacles get in your way. You know, Crystal said with the worship, you know, do we really want what we were singing about? I thought that was a good question. Because when we're singing, in the moment that we're singing that, those words, you have to want it. Otherwise, you and I just sing words. Nice words, wonderful words. But I'll tell you what, you and I don't grab a hold of things unless we want it. It'll slip by. It's going to be a crowded room, and if you don't press through, you're not going to get it. Pure and simple. There's all kinds of invitations. Many are called. Few are chosen. There's lots of invitations. How many end up choosing to fulfill that calling, whatever it might be? You wake up in the morning and somebody comes to your mind and God bless them, and you're off doing something. Or do you stop and say, God must be putting this person on my heart for a reason. And I'm not just going to say some little flip prayer. No, God, what's going on here? And you pray. And you wait on God and you pray. Isn't that what we should be doing? You know? There's got to be a depth of fervor in us.
I had a few things written down here. Let me...
Nelson, can I add to that?
Sure.
Shouldn't we also be willing to call them when we're led to call them? Like God will tell us sometimes to call somebody?
Oh, yeah. If God calls us to do that, yeah. If he's saying, call them up. Talk to them.
Even go this time's up. Sure. Just go see this person.
Yes.
And we need to be willing to do it.
Yeah, we have to be willing to do it. This calling, these callings that we have, the scripture describes it as holy, as a holy call. And that when he invites, there's something holy about it. You hear something in your mind and you just kind of pass it off as another thought. But maybe we really better see the sacredness of God speaking to us. I don't think our eyes are enlightened enough to understand that the invitations that he gives us. You getting this? Mm-hmm. So what can we do about that? What can we do about that? We can ask, right? You pray and you say, God, I don't have the fervor. I don't have the real concept of what's really going on. Help me.
Yes.
You know how many times I've said that?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have too.
Yes.
Darling?
Yeah, I have a confirmation. When I was in the hospital, Malcolm and Kathy laid on my heart and I called them. And so to pray for me, you know. And they came and visited me on a Sunday, and I got up that day, and a lot of godly things have happened to me in the process, you know. So, you know, I've always been a true believer, but, you know, that really confirmed a lot, you know, because I'm going to be moving out of my third apartment, you know, to a bottom floor, thank God, you know. And I'm just many things, blessings have come to my life here, and I'm so grateful and thankful to have this church as my family. And as I continue to keep coming, I'll contribute my quilts and my pillows for the kids or whatever you help you need. I want to be there for you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom.
You know, I didn't write the scripture down, but there's a scripture that says that we're to walk worthy of our calling, or any of the callings, any of them, small, large, whatever it happens to be, you know. Probably this is going to be something for next week. But,
it's
Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 4:1, thank you. I think I'm going to stop right there. I pray that we be diligent to make our calling and election sure, that all the invitations, Lord, that you give us, inviting us to pray, inviting us to be there for people, to love one another, Lord, and all the different things that you call us to, that you invite us to, Lord, that we would take every one. Lord, and I pray that we would be people that would be diligent for that, and that we would press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we would walk worthy, that we wouldn't be lukewarm, that we would seek first your kingdom and righteousness. We need you, Lord. We want to be true disciples of yours. We thank you, Jesus, today. Amen. Hallelujah.